Okay, good morning. This morning's shiur is sponsored by Omo Construction and David and Paula Bounzer, and also by Bagel Munch. We are starting a new parak, Daf Lamed Hey, and the parak starts off strong. It's a great daf. Hopefully we'll enjoy it. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Ketzed Mevarchem Al Peros. How do you make a bracha on peros? What bracha do you make on peros? Al peros ilan hu omer bari priyait. So on peros that grow, on fruits that grow on a tree, you say bari priyait. Chutz min hayayin, with one exception, on wine, once you've made that grape into wine, shal hayayin hu omer bari priya gafen. We'll see soon why that is that you make a special bracha on gafen, bari priya gafen. Yal peros haaretz, things that grow on the ground, vegetables, hu omer bari priya adama. Chutz min hapas, the exception is bread, which is technically from the ground because it's from wheat, but once it's processed and made into bread, shal hapas hu omer hamotzi lechem min haaretz. We'll see that gets complicated because you have mizonos and all other kinds of things. But at least pas is the exception. You make a most melchem in aretz. V'al ha'yirakos hu omer bari pri adama, on vegetables that grow on the from the ground, you make a bari pri adama. Rabbi Yehuda omer bari mine desha'im. You make a bracha bari mine desha'im. Praise Hashem who made all different types of grass or different types of grass, I guess. The Rashi points out that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that he's much more particular about the different variations within a category, right? Rabbi Yehuda by heker bracha l'chol min v'min. Rabbi Yehuda wants you to specifically thank Hashem for the particular type of vegetation. Don't just say generally borei pri hadama. You say borei mine d'shaim on this grass and asavim and all those kinds of things. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. And the Mishnah basically just laid out the different brachos that we're all very familiar with. The Gemara now is going to ask fundamentally, minahani mili, how do you know from the beginning that you make a bracha on fruits and vegetables? So the Gemara's question is going to end up encompassing not just fruits and vegetables, but everything, meat and fish, etc. The Gemara here is not asking about how you know you make a bracha on bread, because that we know, v'achalta v'savata v'irachta, we have a pasuk in the Torah that says you bench on bread. The Gemara later on is going to learn a Kal v'chomer. If you bench on bread, certainly you make a bracha before you eat the bread. So this daf here, this amud, is not talking about bread. It's talking about everything else. It's talking about fruits, vegetables, and as we'll see, we'll expand it to meat and fish. But the Gemara says, how do you know from the beginning that you make a bracha? Why does the Mishnah assume that you make a bracha altogether? And the Gemara at first tries to learn it from something completely unrelated to brachos, the halacha of neter ravai, detan rabbanan. We have a brisa that says, Kodesh Hiulim LaHashem, the pasuk in the context of Neter Ravai. What's Neter Ravai? Neter Ravai is the produce of the fourth year. If you have a tree that you plant fresh, a new seedling, a new sapling, you plant it, the first year's fruit and the second year's fruit and the third year fruit are called Arla. You can't eat them, at least in Eretz Yisrael. And then the fourth year's fruit you can eat, but you can only eat it in Yerushalayim. It has Kedusha that you can only eat in Yerushalayim. You can be mechalalit, as we'll see in a moment. You can take that piece of fruit, transfer its kedusha onto another piece of fruit or onto a coin or something like that, and then eat that fruit outside of Yerushalayim and then bring that fruit or coin to Yerushalayim. But it itself has inherent kedusha. You can only eat in Yerushalayim. So this pasuk of Kodesh Yul Hashem is describing the kedusha of Neter Ravai, that fourth year's fruit. Neter Ravai. Ravai is the fourth year. And teaching you specifically Mulamed Shetunim Bracha Lifneim Ula Achareim. From the fact that it says Kodesh Yilul Hashem, it sounds like you're praising Hashem. It says that this teaches you that when you eat Neter Ravai, and then we'll extrapolate from that to everything, that you have to make a bracha before and after you eat the Neter Ravai. Mikan Amar Rabbi Akiva, and from there Rabbi Akiva derived Asur L'Adam Shiyitom Klum Kodem Shivarech. If the Torah requires you to make a bracha before and after eating Neter Ravai, the fourth year's produce, so that that teaches you a general value, a general rule, that you can't eat something before you make a bracha. He extrapolates it from Neter Ravai. So the Gemara says, how can that be that we're learning the halacha of making a bracha from Neter Ravai, from that limud, Kodesh Yilul Hashem? That pasuk, or those words, Kodesh Yilulim Hashem, already teach you a completely separate halacha with regard to Neter Ravai. Two talachos. By Kodesh Yulam Lahachi Udasa, it's teaching you brachos. Haimi Baile, it's already needed. Chad, now keep in mind, Hilulim is plural, so we can learn two halachos from Hilulim. Chad Damarachmana Achle Vahadar Achle. One, because one is to teach you the Torah's halacha here, that you can be mechalel the kedusha from the fruit onto something else and then eat it outside of Yerushalayim. You can transfer the kedusha onto something else and then eat this fruit. And you learn that from Kodesh Hilulim Achlei V'Hadar Achlei. V'idach, and a second limud you learn from this, Davar HaTa'un Shira Ta'un Chilul, V'she'eno Ta'un Shira Ein Ta'un Chilul. That the halacha of Neter Revai altogether only applies to something, to the type of produce that brings with it Shira, that brings with it song. What's that? That's wine. Because as we'll see in a moment, wine is something that when you brought the wine on the Mizbeach, they would, the Levim would sing the Shir. And so only something that is Kodesh Hilulim Hashem, where it brings with it praise to Hashem, namely wine, meaning only grapes, are subject to this rule of Neter Revai, of that requires Chilul before eating it, that it would be subject to the rule of Neter Revai. Everything else is not. This is referred to as Kerem Revai. There's a fundamental machlokes that we'll see in a moment of whether the halacha of Neter Revai is the halacha of Neter Revai or halacha of Kerem Revai, meaning does it apply exclusively to Kerem, to a vineyard, to a vine, namely grapes that produce wine, that produce song, or is it all-encompassing, anything that comes off a tree is subject to this rule that you can't eat it in the fourth year unless you're mechalid onto something else, and then you could eat it, and then you could, or otherwise you could eat in Yerushalayim. So fundamentally, there's a machlokes between Neter Revai and Kerem Revai. Do you hold that it applies to all produce or just to fruits of the vine? So this limud seems to say Kerem Revai. You get the halach of Neter Revai, it's a little bit of a misnomer, that it applies only to grapes. Ukid Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Amar Rav Yonasan. Dam Rav Shmuel Nachmini, Amar Rav Yonasan. He quotes the name of Rav Yonasan. Minayin Shein Omrim Shira El Alayayin. How do you know that you only say song on wine? Shinam Rav Atomer Elohem Agefen Echtalti Es Tiroshi HaMesameach Elokim V'Anashim. HaMesameach Elokim V'Anashim. There's a pasuk from Shoftim where there's a whole mashal that takes place there, and it says that this Geffen wine rejoices or makes happy Hashem and people. So the Gemara says, "Iman Hashem and Sameach." I understand that wine makes people happy because we see that whenever someone drinks, they're happy, right? That we know from our experience. Elkim b'mem sameach. But where do we see that Hashem gets happy through wine? Mikan. So we derive from this pasuk she'in omrim shira el alayayin, that when they said shira in the Beis Hamikdash, the Shira would be said during the Nisuch HaYayin. It would be said in that context. And that's how we learn that. So this is teaching you the connection between Shira and Yayin, between song and wine. And we just learned this idea that if so, the Kodesh Hilulim Hashem, the second limud of Kodesh Hilulim Hashem, is teaching you that you only have the halacha of Neter Revai in the context of Kerem Revai, that it's only true by a vineyard. Only by grapes do we say that in the fourth year you can't eat the produce outside of Yerushalayim unless you're mechalalet. Now, so that's a bigger problem for our Gemara, because our Gemara had tried to say that Kodesh Yilum Hashem teaches you brachos, but if Kodesh Yilum Hashem is already taken up for two other drashos, namely Achle Vader Achle, and also that only Davar Aton Shira is subject to the rules of Neter Revai. So then we have no drusha, no extra word available to teach us brachos. It's already taken up by these limudim. So now the Gemara says, okay, let's pause for a moment. That's a strong question, and it precludes us from learning from that pasuk, but only if you hold the halacha of Kerem Revai, only if you hold that Neter Revai only applies to a vineyard. If you reject that approach altogether, and say that Neter Revai applies to all produce, all fruits, so then you don't need one of those limudim to teach you Kerem Revai. Hani chalaman detani Neter Revai. So we're going to still be okay, says the Gemara, if you hold Neter Revai, if you hold that Neter Revai applies across the board and doesn't just apply to Kerem Revai, doesn't just apply to fruit, because then you have a limud that's extra for the one thing we're trying to learn, which is brachos. But according to the Man D'Amar, that Kerem Revai, right, that we're learning Neter Vai to apply only to stuff grown on a vine. How are you going to have an extra pasuk, an extra word to teach you brachos? Ditmar, and then the Gemara is just going to kind of familiarize yourself with what we just said. Ditmar, b'chiv Rabbi Shimon, b'rebi. Is machokas between these two. Chad tani kerem revai, v'chad tani neter revai. One holds that the halach of neter revai applies to all fruits, neter revai, and one applies, says that it's just kerem revai, it just applies to that fruit. Good. So the Gemara is now going to kind of develop these different strands and kind of go off and explore the limudim for one but not the other. So we're leaving behind neter revai. We're okay with neter revai. It seems to say, what we seem to be saying at the moment, that if you hold that the halacha of neter revai applies to all produce, to all fruits, so then we're good. Because you don't need kodesh yilum l'Hashem to teach you that it applies exclusively to davar haton shira, to kerem revai. You have an extra pasuk then to teach you the halacha that you make a bracha. So that's good if you hold neter revai. But again, now we're going to try to explore kerem revai a little more. And we're saying that even if you hold like kerem revai, which we thought means you're dead in the water, because you needed that pasuk to teach you kerem revai and you can't learn it for brachos, there's still a possible way to learn our lima that we're trying to learn. That's what we say now. Uman detani kerem revai, even if you hold kerem revai, where we thought we were dead in the water, hanicha iyalef gezera shava, you'll still be okay if you learn the following gezera shava, which would teach you that halacha that we thought we needed Kodesh Yilum LaHashem to teach us. Hanicha Alf Gezer Shavah, Detanya. Rebbe Omer, Nemer Kan Lehosif Lachem Tivuaso, that in the context of Neter Revai it says Lehosif Lachem Tivuaso, Venemer Lalan Utvuas HaKerem. And later on it's going to learn Utvuas HaKerem. Mala Halan Kerem, Av Kan Kerem. Because of the commonality of the word Tvua in both these parshios, and one of the parsha, the later parsha in Devarim, says Tvua with respect to Kerem, so you could learn that Gezerah Shavah to teach you that Neter Revai, where it also says Tvua, is only by a Kerem. And if that's the limud for this idea of Kerem Revai, for the idea of limiting Neter Revai to a vineyard, to a grape, so then you don't need Kodesh Yilulim LaHashem to teach you that halacha. And then once again, we can use Kodesh Yilulim LaHashem to teach you brachos, which is what we're trying to do. So therefore, Aiser Leichad Hilul LeBracha, and we have this extra Kodesh Yilulim LaHashem to teach you bracha. So again, just to review, if you hold Neter Revai, that the halacha of Neter Revai applies to all fruits, or if you learn the limitation of Neter Revai to Kerem Revai from the Gezerah Shavah, and you don't need the Kodesh Yilulim LaHashem to teach you that, in either of those cases, you have Kodesh Yilulim LaHashem open to learn brachos. And then we're good. We're left with one strand where it's still problematic. Where if you don't learn the Gezerah Shavah and you learn Kerem Revai, then you need Kodesh Yilulim LaHashem to teach you that limitation. The Gemara then summarizes that the lo yalef Gezerah Shavah bracha minale. But if you go down that strand where again you don't have the Gezerah Shavah and you learn Kerem Revai, then how do you know the halachos of bracha? How do you know the halacha that you need to bracha? Say a bracha. So that's where we're kind of dead in the water, and we're going to return to that strand later on. But for now, we now go back and say, V'inami yolef gezerah shavah. The truth is, says the Gemara, even if you circle back one step, even if you learn the gezerah shavah, and so you don't need kodesh yilulim to teach you kerem revai, that it's limited to a grape, because you learned it from the gezerah shavah, still you have a problem. Ashkechon la'acharav, l'fan of minayin. You now know that you have a bracha that you have to say at the end. But how do you know that you say a bracha in the beginning? If you remember, the very first line of the Gemara said that Rabbi Akiva learned you say a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona from Kodesh Yilulim. It sounded like he's learning that from the plural of Kodesh Yilulim. But now that we know that Kodesh Yilulim is partially at least used for another drasha altogether, remember, because we had two different drashas on Kodesh Yilulim, we've only freed up one with this whole analysis of Kerem Revai. So you can only have one drasha. So now, which one should we apply that to? The bracha rishona or bracha achrona? So Rashi points out that we're going to be more likely to apply it to bracha achrona, because in the context of lechem, the achalta v'savata v'rachta teaches us to make a bracha achrona. So if we have to choose one, we only have one limud, we're going to apply it to bracha achrona. So ashkechon la'acharav, but l'fan of minayin, how do we know a bracha rishona? So the Gemara says, that's not such a challenging problem. Halal kasha. Yasu b'kavachomer. We have a kavachomer. Kishu saveya mivarech. Kishu raiv kol koshekein. If the Torah tells you to make a bracha and thank Hashem for all the food He's given you while you're full, so when you're hungry, when you really, really feel that acute need for food and you really have a much more, greater appreciation for the fact that Hashem is giving you food, so kol shekein, all the more so, you should have to make a bracha. So fine, so we solved that problem. The Gemara then says, Ashkechan Kerem. Okay, even if you were in this strand of thought where we're learning it because we had a Gezeira Shava to teach you the limitation of Kerem Revai from that Gezeira Shava, and therefore we still have an open limud to teach you brachos from Kodesh Iluim, but keep in mind, we're in the world of Kerem, because now we're in this strand of thought that says that you only have, that Neder Revai only applies to Kerem Revai. And so, if that's true, maybe this limud only teaches you bracha achrona, bracha rishona for a grape. But it doesn't teach you it for a strawberry. It doesn't teach it to you for an apple. Shar mina minayin. How do you know that you make a bracha on an apple? So the Gemara says, there's the Aleph Mikarim. If the Torah tells you you make a bracha on a grape, so then it stands to reason that you also make a bracha on a apple from a mematzina. Ma kerem davar shenene v'taon bracha, just like a grape has the characteristic that it gives you pleasure and therefore requires a bracha, so afgol davar shenene taon bracha. So it stands to reason that anything that gives you pleasure, like an apple or like a strawberry, should require a bracha. So Gemara says, I can challenge that reasoning. Ikal mifrach, I can challenge it by saying, ma le kerem shekein chayav ba'olos. Kerem, a grape, has a specific stringency, we know, because it's chayev, it has a special halacha called olulos. Olulos is a mitzvah that says that if you have a specifically shaped cluster of grapes, where it only grows in one line, you don't have a fully formed cluster of grapes, you have to leave it for the aniyim. It's one of those matnos aniyim, like peya and etc. If it doesn't grow properly, you leave it for the aniyim. You leave this defective cluster for the aniyim. So because there's a special dindoraisa like that, that teaches you that grapes are not like every other fruit. They're kind of dealt with a little more stringently. And so just because I have a limud from Kodesh Yulam Hashem now, that I make a bracha on grapes, I might conclude that that's true by grapes, because those are in a special category. They're subject to olulos, they're grapes, they're subject to olulos, and therefore those get a bracha. But what's to say that every other fruit and vegetable gets a bracha? So the Gemara says, Kama tochiach. No. Once I have a limud to teach you bracha by grapes, and I also, as we know, have a bracha, a limud of Vechalta Vesavata Uverachta to teach you bracha by bread, so then I could kind of bounce one off another, and I'll say, okay, you might have thought that it's limited to grapes because grapes are chayiv and olulos, they're very stringent, but I'll tell you, that's not what's triggering the need for a bracha, because look at bread. Bread, there's no concept of olulos, and yet it's chayiv and brachos. So maybe the fact that it's chayiv and olulos, that grapes are chayiv and olulos, is not what makes them now chayiv and brachos. It's probably wider than that, right? Kama tochiach. So the Gemara says, well, one second. Mal kama shekein chayiv es bechala. Kama also has a very special characteristic. It's chayiv and chala. When you make chala, if you make enough chala, you have to take off chala, you have to give it to the kohen. It has a special stringency. And so maybe the fact that you make a bracha on challah based on v'chalta v'sevatav is attributed to the fact of the stringency of challah. Challah is very stringent. You'd have to give challah. Challah is, right? You have to give challah. And that's, but you
any
should...
any bread, you have to take challah.
Bread. But when I say lechem means bread, right? Kami here is referring to any bread. Challah. I'm sorry. So bread, you have to take challah for, right? So I can't conclude from the fact that it says v'chalta v'sevatav v'erachta that you make a bracha on everything, on fruits and vegetables, because maybe that's special for challah, which for bread, which you take challah for. So the Gemara answer is kerem yochiach. No, the fact that you make a bracha on grapes teaches you that the matnas kuna of challah is not the special stringency that's triggering a bracha. Because look, grapes you give a bracha, you make a bracha, even though you don't give challah. V'chazar adin lo ri zekri ze lo ri zekri azeh. This is a classic chazar adin. Where we say that clearly the characteristic that's triggering a bracha for a grape is not the olos halacha. The characteristic that's triggering a bracha for bread is not the challah mitzvah, because each one has a bracha even though it doesn't share that common characteristic. What common characteristic do they do, or what broad characteristic do they share? Hatzara shava shebehen davar shenen evetom bracha. Each one represents something that you get hanah from, and therefore that triggers the need for a bracha. So af kol davar shenen eton bracha. So too, every fruit in the world that you get hanah from should require a bracha. And that's the Gemara's limud, how you earn brachos. So the Gemara challenges that and says, ma la tzara shava shebehen. I'll tell you, there's something that both grapes and bread have in common that might trigger the bracha specifically for them, but would preclude you from deriving a bracha, the halacha that you should make a bracha from every other thing from them. Shep kain yesh botzad mizbeach. Think about it. Grapes and bread both are things that are brought on the mizbeach. They're brought in the Beis Hamikdash. Grapes in the context of nitzuch hayayin, bread in the context of the Karban Mincha, you have all sorts of solas, the bread offerings. And so maybe you only have a bracha, or have a requirement to make a bracha, by things that are very special, like grapes and bread, because they're brought on the Mizbeach. But that's not to say to you, that's not to, can't conclude from there, that everything in the world that has strawberry, which you never bring in the Beis HaMikdash, that you have to say a bracha for that. But what could you derive then from that? Just one other thing, v'asi nami zayis, and therefore, okay, maybe you'll make a bracha on an olive, d'isbeit sad mizbeach, because olives also are brought on the mizbeach in terms of the shemen, right? The olive oil is brought on the mizbeach very often, and so maybe only things that are very special because they're brought on the mizbeach get a bracha, but not every, not a strawberry, not an apple. The Gemara now takes a little side note here, v'zayis mitzad mizbeach asi, is it true that you would need to learn olive from the fact that it's brought on mizbeach? V'abehejah k'siv bei kerem. Maybe that would be, that you'd be able to go back to your original limud of kodesh yulum Hashem, which applies to all vineyards, because an olive is referred to as growing as a vine. We think of an olive as growing in an olive tree, but in this pasuk where it says, d'chsiv v'yivar migadish v'ad kama v'ad kerem zayis, it refers to an olive tree as a form of a vine, and so maybe that would have been included in the grape category, and you'd have to make a bracha on that. Amar Papa, kerem zayis ikri, kerem stama lo ikri. It's true that the pasuk refers to it as a kerem zayis, but it doesn't refer to it as a kerem. It refers to it as an olive vine. It doesn't refer to it as a vine. So fine. But back to where we are. Mikol makom kasha. Malatzara shava shaven shekinish ben sad mizbeach. So maybe we're limited to learning brachos to only things like grapes, bread, and olives that are brought in the mizbeach, but you can't learn it to everything else. So we're going to completely scrap this whole line of reasoning and try again. Ela diyalaf la mishiva saminim. We're going to learn the whole concept of bracha achrona, which then you could extrapolate to bracha rishona, from shiva saminim, the seven fruits particular to Eretz Yisrael, where it says by the pasuk of shiva saminim, kibasi el aretz, aretz chita, sora, gefen, tenor, etc. And then it says, v'chad v'svot v'rachta. So that pasuk, v'chad v'svot v'rachta, applies to the shiva saminim. Now we know you don't bench on shiva saminim. There's an opinion in Gemara later on daf lamid Zion, we're going to get to it, where Rabbi Gamliel holds you say, you bench on Shiva Saminim. But that's an outlier. That's a minority opinion. We don't, but still, there's a concept of Bracha Rishon Bracha Achrona by Shiva Saminim, because it says V'echad V'svat V'rachta in that context. And so maybe you learn it from Shiva Saminim. That just like you make a Bracha on a fig or on a date, so too you should, on a pomegranate, you should make it on an apple and a strawberry. So Gemara says, Ma Shiva Saminim Davar Shenen Evetom Bracha. I've called Davar Shenen Evetom Bracha. That's the limit. That anything you get derived, just like Shiva Saminim is something you get pleasure from, and it triggers the need for a bracha. So too, an apple, a strawberry, anything you get pleasure from, you should make a bracha. So Gemara says, Ma Shiva Saminim Shekin Chayavim Bibikurim. There's a special characteristic of Shiva Saminim in that they are Chayavim Bikurim. The first fruits have to be brought to the Kohen. And so maybe it's only there that you get a bracha, because it has that special characteristic of bikurim, but you can't extrapolate from there to kolot or kulot, to every other fruit. Viod, furthermore, hatenach acharav. That would teach you a bracha achrona, v'yachalta v'svata v'yarachta, v'fun of minayin. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. We know, ho, kashya dasi b'kal v'chomer, kishu saveh mevarech, kishu raiv l'kol shakein. There's a kal v'chomer that if you're going to make a bracha when you're full, when you're satiated, so all the more so, for sure, you should make a bracha when you're hungry. But we're at least left with our problem of Bikurim. You can't really extrapolate from Shiva Saminim because they're Chayiv and Bikurim. Maybe that's what makes them special. But other things don't have Bikurim, and therefore you would not make a bracha on them. And then the Gemara is kind of circling back and pulling back all our strands. Ulamad detani netaravai. And even if you held, if you go back a few steps, and held that netaravai, right, if you didn't hold that Kerem Ravai was limited to vineyards, to grapes, and you therefore had Kodesh Yilulim Hashem open to teach you brachos hatinach kol debar netia, that would only teach you something like Kodesh Yilulim Hashem, something like things that grow on a tree where it grows in the ground. Delab bar netia. What about kagon basar, beitzim, vidagim? What about fish and eggs and meat that don't grow on the ground? You couldn't learn that from Kodesh Yilulim Hashem because maybe you'd only make a bracha on things that grow from the ground. So we're kind of lost here. We lost all our limudim. We lost our limud of even within Karam Ravai, because we couldn't learn it. We had the Tzad Shava, but it didn't work because we ended up only limiting it to things that have a Tzad Mizbeach. We lost this limud even by Neta Ravai, where we thought we were okay, but we say now, no, you can only learn that for things that grow from the ground, but what about meat and eggs and stuff? So we're lost. We have no limud at all. So the Gemara is literally going to solve our problem in one line and say everything we just learned, we're scrapping. Ela svarahu. It's simply a logical svara. Asur lo adam shihanim in olam hazeh b'lo bracha. The reason we make brachos is because it's reasonable to make brachos. It's logical you have to make a bracha. Hashem gave us food. Why should you be able to enjoy the fruits of this world without making a bracha and thanking Hashem for what he gave you? You can't get enough from Olam Hazeh without making a bracha. So this is classical Gemara. We go through a whole, you know, we learned a lot along the way about Neter Ravai and Kerem Ravai and Tzad Mizbeach, etc. But at the end of the day, the Gemara diverts and learns the source for Berachas Anenim from a simple Svara, Asr lo adam shi'anim min Olam Hazeh, b'lo bracha.
That's interesting, because usually they say with Tami and Mitzvos that you don't really look for it, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a Gzeirah from Shemayim. Here it's Dafka
Svara. Yeah, here it's a Svara exclusively. Yeah, it's a Svara exclusively. Tosus points out, V'kra d'nasav al-smachta ba'alma v'gamra hiyosar mitchilu d'limud gamru. Tosus points out, don't feel so bad. The Pasuk Kodesh Yilulim Hashem, remember, Rabbi Akiva said, Mikan, that it's Asur Litom Kodesh Yilulim Varech Bracha. So Rabbi Akiva explicitly tied this to that Pasuk. So Tosus says, we're not kind of throwing Rabbi Akiva completely out. Rabbi Akiva had a smachta. He read this Pasuk, and he thought that that's a nice way to think about the source for brachos. It's just that as a technical, formal manner, that's not our source. It's an asmachta. That's a pasuk that triggers our memory about brachos. It's thematically connected to brachos. But as a technical halachic matter, the Gemara is learning it from a svara. That's just an asmachta.
Does that make it... Is it
that's a great question. Is it Doraisa Drabanan? I'm sure there's much discussion about it. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there's what to talk about. I didn't look into it.
Yeah. Don't we say that? Generally, we say that safek deraisa lechomra, but we say safek brachos.
Cool. Yeah. That makes me think that you're right. That it's not a deraisa, and we say specifically by benching, right? Vechalta v'savata v'irachta is your limud for benching, and it's only when v'savata, only when you're full, that we say it's deraisa. But if you're not really full, then it's only drabanan. So yeah, that all sounds consistent with this idea that all of this is really just drabanan. That on the deraisa level, it's only where you meet that criteria.
And is that for bracha rishona, or is that only for benching for bracha
rishona? I think we also say there that it's only by bracha rishona. Even though a kal v'chomer usually, right, the bracha rishona for bread is learned from a kal v'chomer. A kal v'chomer usually exists on a deraisa level. So I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of lumdus about this. I'm not holding in it. Yeah, interesting.
No, but I'm saying from that pasuk, it sounds, at least the order makes it sound like it's the bracha achrona.
Definitely. The chalav v'svat v'rachta is the bracha achrona. It's just that then the Gemara extrapolates from that a kal v'chomer. If you can make a bracha achrona, then kal v'chomer make a bracha rishona. What I was saying is that usually a kavachomer would rise to the level of a daraisa. We don't seem to treat it that way. So, okay. Tan Rabbanan, Osir Lodom Shiana min Olam Hazeh B'lo Bracha, Chonena min Olam Hazeh B'lo Bracha, Maal. You can't get hanah from this world without making a bracha. If you do, then you're over the Isra of Mi'ila. That's a very stringent thing. Mi'ila on a technical level means someone who steals from Kudshim, from the Mizbeach. Rashi says, Kinena min Hektish. It's as if you are getting from Hektish. Maita Kante, what's the fix? Yelich Etzel Chacham. Go to a Chacham. Gemara says, Yelich Etzel Chacham. What, you going to a Chacham? What is this? What's going on here? My Avidlei. What's the Chacham going to do for you? You just were Moel. You just ate without making a bracha. So the answer is, my Avid Lei, Avid Lei Isur. You did an Isur. Elamar, what Rava says, Yelich Etzel Chacham Meikara. The fix to this is not being uneducated. The fix to this is going to a chacham first, having him teach you hilchos brachos, kadesh lo yavoli de miwa. And as a result of you knowing hilchos brachos, you won't violate miwa. Amrav Yudam or Shmuel, ko anena min olam hazeh b'lo bracha, ki unena mikadshe shemayim. Similarly, if you derive benefit from olam hazeh without making a bracha, it's as if you've eaten kadshim. Shnemar Hashem aretz umwawa, because it says that the Hashem owns the land, right? Hashem, the land belongs to him. Rabbi Levi Rami, he brought the following contradiction. On the one hand, Kesiv Hashem Aretzum Lola, all the earth, all the land belongs to Hashem. Ukesiv Hashemayim Shemayim Hashem V'Aretz Nasam Livnei Adam. In contrast to that, it says that Hashem has the Shemayim, but Aretz Nasam Livnei Adam. He's given land to people. It belongs to us. So how do you reconcile these two psukim? Is it ours? Is it Hashem's? Well, kasha kan kodem bracha, kan la'acher bracha. One is before bracha, one's before you make a bracha, then it belongs to Hashem. But once you make a bracha, then it belongs to you. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, ko'anena min olam hazeh b'lo bracha, kilu gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'Knesset Yisrael. It's as if you have stolen from Hashem and from Knesset Yisrael. Rashi points out that the reason why it's like stealing from Knesset Yisrael is because when you sin by not making a bracha, the result is that people's produce suffers. It metaphysically, the punishment is that people aren't successful in their agriculture, and so therefore it's as if you're stealing from them. How do we know all this? From the Pasuk of Mishlei, Shnemar Gozel Aviv V'Imo V'Omar Ein Pesha Chaver Hu Mashchis. That's the pasuk. Someone who steals from his father and his mother, and he says that I haven't done anything wrong. It's as if you're buddies with the bad guy. That's what the pasuk says in Mishlei. So now Gemara is going to explain what this means. Who is the father? Someone who steals from his father. Ein aviv el hakadosh baruch hu. Your father is Hashem. Shnemar halo avicha konecha. Vein imo el kenes Yisrael. Your mother, that's Knesset Yisrael. That's the crest of Klal Yisrael. Shnemar shema bini menusa avicha v'altitosh toras imecha. My chaver who is chaskus. What does this mean that your buddy is with the bad guy or with the destroyer? I'm Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Chaver who? It's as if you're a friend with Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat was the first king of the 10 northern tribes. He was a really, really bad guy. To solidify his reign, he said that no one could go down to the base of Migdash to offer, you know, during the Shalosh Regalim. So he was no good. Shehischus es Yisrael avim shavashmayim. Because in this way he cut off, or he destroyed our relationship to Hashem, or at least the 10 tribes' relationships to Hashem. So he was a bad guy, and therefore, by you eating without a bracha, it's as if you are buddies with your Avim ben Nevat. That's not a compliment. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Rami Ksiv. Rami. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa brought the following contradiction. Ksiv v'lachachti digani b'ito, I will take my produce in its rightful time. V'yaksiv yasafta diganecha, you will gather your produce. So which one is it? My produce, Hashem's produce, or is it our produce? Lokasha, kam bizman sheYisrael osum rizon shel makom, kam bizman sheEin Yisrael osum rizon shel makom. One is where we're doing Hashem's will, so then it's our produce, and one where we're not doing His will, then it's His produce. Tana Rabbanan, v'yasafta diganecha, ma talmud lomer. Why do you need to teach you v'yasafta diganecha, that you should go work the fields and collect the produce, that you should do work? The pasuk says in Yehoshua that you should never let Torah leave your mouth, meaning you should always be learning Torah. Yochel Dvarim Kiksavan. You might think that that literally means you should always be learning Torah. You should never work. Talmud Lomar V'yasafta D'ganecha. So comes along the pasuk to teach you, it's not true that you should always be learning Torah. You have to work. You have to support your family, and you have to work the fields. Hanheg b'hem minag derech eretz. Divrei Rav Yishmael. Rav Yishmael says, you have to go to work. You have to earn a living. That's what you should be doing. In contrast to that, Rav Shimon ben Yochai famously says, Omer efshar adam choresh b'shas charisha, v'zorei b'shas zriya, v'kotzer b'shas ktsira, v'dash b'shas disha, v'zorei b'shas harach, Torah matei aleha. So Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, look, you're going to be plowing in the season where you're supposed to be plowing. And you're going to be planting seeds in the season when you're supposed to be planting seeds. And then it's going to come the next month and you're going to have to do harvesting. And you're going to do that. And then the next thing is you're going to have to bring it into the house and you're going to have to winnow. You're going to have to crush it, dush, right? And then you're going to have to winnow it, zorev, with the wind. You're going to be busy all year round. There's never a moment where there's not something to be doing on the farm. So Torah matei aleha. What's going to happen to the Torah? There's always an excuse. You're always going to be working. Ela, rather, bizman she Yisrael osin ritzon shel makom malachta nasis ayidei acherim. If Klal Yisrael does what they're supposed to be doing, then their work will be done by others. Shneamar v'yamdu zarim v'ro utzon achem. The pasuk says Yishai and Yishaya, saying that there's going to be a time where all our work is done by others, presumably the non-Jews or automation or artificial intelligence or whatever it is. Bizman she ein Yisrael osin ritzon shel makom. And when Klal Yisrael is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, melachta nasis ayidei atzman. So then they're going to have to do their own melacha. Shneim Rav Yosefta deganecha. So it's interesting. Even Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai concedes that this ideal way of living is limited to bizman she Yisrael osin ritzon shel makom. That in messianic times or whatever, things are going to work out, and you're going to be able to learn Torah all day. But even he concedes, apparently, that in this non-idyllic state, that you're going to have to do work. V'lo'od el shemlechas achir nasis ayadan, shem rav yadatos oivecha. When things are not going well, you're going to even have to do other people's work. Amar Abayi, harbei asuk Rabbi Yishmael v'also biadan. So many people followed Rabbi Yishmael's advice and worked, and it worked out for them. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'also biadan. But there are many who kind of strove to do Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's idyllic existence and always learn Torah and not do anything else. And it didn't work out so well for them, meaning they ended up in poverty. It didn't work out. The thrust of this Gemara seems to be, no matter kind of how you look at it, that working is valuable, that it's good to get a job and work.
I'm trying to tell
my son. I'm so Rava says to Rabbanan, he says, excuse me, or pardon me, or with your permission, biyomei nisan, uviyomei tishrei, lo tischazu kamai ki hechi de lo titrudu b'mezonaichi kuei shasa. He says, in the certain seasons, Yom Nisan, when it's, Rashi points out, at the time of harvest, Yom Tishrei is the time that you're like processing the produce, so then you should not come to me, meaning don't come to me to yeshiva during those busy seasons, so that in order that you won't end up having to work all year round. Meaning he's saying if you put your work in at the proper times, then you'll be set up for success and you'll be able to learn Torah the rest of the year. So that's what he says. He says, stay away from me. Stay away from the yeshiva for those specific seasons so that you'll set yourself up for success the rest of the year. Amar Abba Bar Chana. We have time? Yeah, we have a little time. Amar Abba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. He said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Bo Re'ei Shlo K'doris HaRishonim Doris HaRachorim. The old days were not like nowadays. Doris HaRishonim, in the earlier days, Asu Tarasan Keva Umalach Danarai, they had the right priorities and their Torah would be the most important thing and their malacha, their work, was secondary. Vizu Vizu Niskaima Biyadan. And then things worked out. They were successful in their parnasa and they were successful in their learning. As opposed to now, Doris HaRishonim, nowadays, Asu Malach Dan Keva V'Tarasan Rai, we've lost our priorities and we make our work the most important thing. And we make our Torah less important. Zu v'zu lo niskaim abiyadan. And nothing, you don't succeed at work and you don't succeed at Torah. V'am rabba bar chana, rabbi Yehuda mishum, rabbi Yehuda ben bar Ilai. Bo re'e shlok doris harishonim doris achorim. The old days were not like now. We're not like the old days. Doris harishonim, in the old days, he machnisim peiru seirim. He's talking about the fact that they would take shortcuts. In the old days, they would bring their produce derech traksimon k'dei l'chayven b'maiser. They would walk their produce right through the front door of the storehouses in order that things be chayven maiser. There's halacha and maiser that when you produce it and harvest it and then bring it into the storehouses in an ordinary way, that's when they're chayven maiser and you have to be maiser. But there's a trick you could do, which is if you kind of eat a derech arai, if you never kind of finish off the malacha in a formal way, and you just kind of bring it into the storehouse through the back door or through the side window, so then you're not chayiv and meiser. So that was a trick that they would use. So he says, Dorach ha-sachorne machnisim perusim, derech gagos, derech hatzeres, derech ha-pipios. They would bring it through the back door, through the alleyways, k'dei l'patrim in a meiser, in order that not be chayiv and meiser. Domer of Yane, in a teva mischayiv and meiser, ad shira p'nei abayis. That teva is not chayiv and meiser until it goes in the ordinary way. Shnemar bi'arti ha-kodesh min abayis. You learn that from the pasuk. Rav Yochanan Amar Afil Chatzer Kovas. Rav Yochanan says, no, even if it just comes into the Chatzer, that already makes it a Chayiv and Meiser. Shnemar V'alchu B'sharecha V'Saveu. But the point is that they would try to do shortcuts in the later years by bringing it in through the kind of side door, and that would absolve them of the Chayiv Meiser.
Today we say skip customs.
Today we skip customs, right. Mm. That's the equivalent, right. So if you go back to our Mishnah, we said that the exception to borei pria eitz is yayin. If you drink wine, you don't make a borei pria eitz on the wine. You think we'd make a shahakol, but that's a whole separate discussion of kind of what the end game is. But the point is that wine gets a special bracha. Why does wine get a special bracha? Whether it's special in the sense that it's not a eitz, it's not shahakol, whatever it is. So Gemara says, Maishna yayin. Why is wine so special? If you'll say that by producing it, by squeezing the grapes, you are improving it, because wine is better than grapes. You pay more for wine in the supermarket than you pay for grapes. So maybe that means it gets an upgrade in a bracha, but that doesn't necessarily hold true. Vare shemen, think about oil, olive oil. You have olives and you have oil. Olive oil gets improved, right? Olive oil is more chashev, has more importance than olives itself, and yet that doesn't get an upgrade in bracha, so that doesn't explain it. Why does wine get a bracha?
Because olive oil, it's not something that you would drink or consume. It's an additive to food.
True. That's why you'd make the ha'etz rather than a shahakol on the olive oil.
If
you were to drink it somehow.
Wine, if you drink, you get intoxicated or you have an elevated feeling. If you drink,
I believe so. I think you only make a shahakol on orange juice, right? Because that's its ultimate destination. Whereas olive oil is not typically drank like that. So I'm pretty sure that's right.
A little lemon?
Okay. Pretty sure that's right.
That's a little bit. If you had a lot.
But in any event, the Gemara here is saying,
I think a shot glass.
The Gemara here is saying that you don't make a bracha, a special bracha on shemen. You don't make a special bracha on shemen. Yeah, there it is. Bari praetz. You say it aids on shemen zayis. So amri hasam mishum du efshar. So the Gemara says, when it comes to olive oil, you have a technical problem. Heichi nevarich, which bracha would you make? Nevarich navrich bari pri hazayis. Logically speaking, if you're going to extrapolate from bari priya gafen, from the word from yayin, so the bracha you'd make on olive oil should be borei pri hazayis. But the Gemara says pera gufe zayis ikre. Think about it. The olive is called a zayis, so you can't really say borei pri hazayis, because that means thank you Hashem for making the product of the olive. Right? And Hashem didn't make the product of the olive. You made the product of the olive. Right? The product of the olive, meaning the byproduct of the olive, is the oil. So if I were to say, thank you Hashem for making the byproduct of the olive, that's not really true, because Hashem didn't make the oil. Hashem made the olive. I made the oil. As opposed to borei pria gafen. Gafen is not referring to the grape, it's referring to the vine. So, Bari Priya Gefen, I'm saying, thank you Hashem for making the product of the vine. That means I'm thanking Hashem for making the grape. And I'm making that bracha on the wine that I made. Tanya, that's the upgraded bracha. So if I were to make that same pattern bracha on a zayas, it wouldn't work because I'd be thanking Hashem for the product of the olive, which is not true. So the Gemara says, "Vinavri chalei, make a bracha borei pri eitz zayas." So make a bracha, okay, if you're going to follow that rule. So say, thank you Hashem for making the product of the olive tree, which would parallel Bori Priya Geffen, where I'm saying, thank you Hashem for making the product of the vine, the grape. So here I would say, thank you Hashem for making the product of the olive tree. So the Gemara says, okay, that would have worked. So what? Again, back to our question, why then would we not make a bracha, a special bracha, an upgraded bracha on olive oil? Omar Marzutra. Chamra Zion, Mashcha Lo Zion. Chamra, meaning wine, that, what's the word? That nourishes you. That nourishes you. Whereas drinking olive oil doesn't nourish you. It's a strange thing to do, to drink olive oil. It's not healthy. We know better than they do.
It is
healthy. Okay, well, moderation. Fine, in moderation.
It's definitely
dip your bread. Right, but it's not healthy to drink a cup of olive oil. Yeah. It's not. It doesn't nourish you. Whereas wine nourishes you. Gemara says, "Umashka lo zayin." Is that true that oil doesn't nourish you? Vatanan hanoder min hamazon mutter. So someone who makes a neder not to eat anything mazon, which we'll translate as anything nourishing. So mutter b'mayim uvmelch. You could drink water. You could drink salt. You could eat salt because that doesn't nourish you. That's like basically nothing. Vavinaba, and we learn from there. Mayim umelch uduo ikri mazon. Those are the two things that are not considered nourishing. Hakol mili ikri mazon. But everything else apparently does nourish you. So the name atav that you have to derive. Shmuel da'amri in mevarchin borim nim zonos elo b'chamisha saminim bilvad. So this is kind of a tangent now. We'll say, okay, if that's true, that everything in the world other than water and salt nourishes you, so then that goes against what Rav and Shmuel said, which is they only say borim nim zonos on the chamesh saminim, on the five grains. Why should that be? If everything nourishes you, then you should be able to say borim nim zonos on virtually everything, everything except for water and salt. V'amar Rav Huna b'omer kol hazan alai. So Rav Huna explains that the point is that when you make a bracha, I'm sorry, when the neder that we're talking about is not noder minha mazon, anything nourishing, but the word mazon is a little different than the word zon. So mazon is referring to borim minim mazonos types things. When you make a neder on kol hazon, anything that nourishes, then that's going to be limited to water and salt. But the point is, alma mashcha zayin. The point is, it seems to be that anything else does nourish. So the Gemara says, it's true. Okay, everything nourishes, that's true. Anything that you put in your stomach is going to have some kind of calories, it's going to have some kind of positive, you know, nutrients in it. But the difference is, el chamra soid, umashcha lo soid. Wine fills you up, it satiates. Whereas mashcha, olive oil, doesn't satiate you. The Gemara says, is that true? V'chamra misoid? Is that true that wine fills you up? Rava havashasi chamra komali yuma de Pesach keichi niragri libe. Rava would drink wine on Erev Pesach in order to make him more hungry, to make him more have more of an appetite for the Seder. What is it? Keichi niragri libe. V'nechol matzah tfei tuva. V'nechol matzah tfei. I'm sorry, v'nechol matzah tfei, in order to allow him to eat matzah, more matzah at the Seder. So the grand answer is tuva garer purta sayid. It's true. If you eat a lot of wine, like he used to do on Erev Pesach, that makes you want to have more of an appetite. But if you have a small amount of wine, that satiates. That's what the Gemara says. And that's the reason why you make the bracha bar break up. Umi sayid, klal, is it true that wine satiates? V'aksiv v'ayin samach le'vav enosh, v'lechem v'vav enosh yisad. That wine makes you rejoice, whereas bread makes you satiated. The Gemara says, Namahu desaid chamro lo said. Right? It sounds like bread is what satiates you, but not wine. The Gemara answers, El chamra ispe tarte, said umisameach. What this pasuk really means is that wine has both characteristics. It makes you happy and it fills you up, it satiates. Nama misad said smuche lo misameach. as opposed to bread, where it just satiates you, it doesn't make you fill up. Gemara says, "Ihachi navrichal shalosh brachos." If that's true, shouldn't you bench then on wine? Because once it's kind of in the category of bread, in the sense that it satiates you, so then v'achalta v'savata v'irachta should apply, you should bench on wine. Our answer is, lokavi inshisu dosayu liwe. It's true that wine satiates, but you're not koveya suda. You don't have a suda consisting of wine. Amoyer of Nachum, Reitzlach, Rava, ikave iluye suda say mai. What if you do? What if you're the kind of guy that drinks a bottle of wine as a meal? That's what you have for lunch every day. Says, okay, you know what? Maybe that's true in theory that some people can be koveya suda on wine, and maybe that's even true that you should therefore bench. When Eliyahu Hanavi comes, we'll ask him if that's a true statement. But for now, hashtami abatlo daitol koitza da adam, will follow the norm for now, and that's the standard we'll apply. Normal people don't have a bottle of wine for lunch. That's not satiating as a meal, and therefore you don't make shalosh brachos. You don't bench on wine. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is the reason why you make a special bracha on wine as opposed to any other thing is because it satiates you in a way that other things don't satiate. Nisad side. That's the deal. Okay.